Good. So this week is kind of a, wow, it really actually worked out, like a really nice continuation from last week. So we'll, let's go. So, talk this week, Chanukah. Chanukah, gelt and gifts, and a little bit of gambling. I could have added that in also. Gelt, gifts, and gambling. A little bit of gambling we'll talk about. What?
3 G's.
3 G's, right. So the first two sources on the page, verse 1 and 2, are really, should be familiar. We learned them already. The first source we learned, I think, is now made into all three shiurim, and the second one is coming back from the first shiur. I think that kind of sets the groundwork to figure out some of the issues, at least one of the issues, when it comes to giving gifts over the course of Chanukah. So the first source was that dispute between the Mechaber and the Ramah, right, that we've gone to about last week. We brought it down from the Gemara in the Gemara's in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, about whether there's a source for it, and then we had the Shittos of the Ma'arik that's quoted by the Ramah, that if there's a good reason for it, so then you're allowed to go ahead and do it. As long as, right, there are a couple of conditions to that, right, as long as it didn't trace itself back to Avodah Zarah, it didn't trace itself back to Pritzus, there's a good reason for it. I think there might be one more. But if there is no purpose for it, so then it doesn't. So then you're not. It wouldn't be allowed to do it. That was the shita that the Maharik did. So therefore, that's why you're allowed to burn the things of the kings, and that's why you're allowed to. That's why we're allowed to do hereg. We're allowed to do the one of the way the Mises basins. We're allowed to do it in the proper way for us because it makes sense that we're going to go ahead and do it that way. So that was source number one, the source of the Shulchan Aruch. Now the second source was the earlier tshuva of Rav Moshe with regards to Thanksgiving. Right, Thanksgiving is mentioned explicitly in the last line. If you remember that, I wasn't taking attendance. But those that are here in the first year, remember he talks about whether you can have bar mitzvahs on that day, whether you can have weddings on that day, whether you can have bris on the pinyon benz, right? That's that paragraph. And at the end he concludes, V'yom Rishon Mishana Shelahem, V'chein Thanksgiving, right? Those 2 days. Ein lesser midina, v'abal nefesh yesh lehem l'hachmir. That one cannot prohibit them midin. But a bal nefesh perhaps should be strict. Now, who's a bal nefesh? I mentioned last night in the shiur, we talked about whenever the Mishavura talks about a bal nefesh should be machmir, or a yiri shamayim should be machmir, or something, you know, a machmir tamo lev bracha, right? When the Mishavura kind of gives that clue, you know, you could, you know, so the question, who he's talking to? Is he talking to me? Is he talking to us? Is he talking to, you know, like, if you were really a Yirei Shemayim, you would do this, but you're probably not. Like, well, what exactly is he referring to by giving over those kinds of statements? And that is a question. I had heard in the past that Rav Amital, we've quoted a few times, was fond of saying this, that people used to ask him about various chumras that are found in the Shulchan Aruch, or found in the Mishnah Berurah. People would ask him, he was a Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, the students would go to him and say, you know, it says that a Yirei Shemayim should be Machmir. And Rav Amital said, well, I'm very happy to hear that I have Yirei Shemayim in my yeshiva, because the Rosh Yeshiva I don't think qualifies for being a Yirei Shemayim. So I had heard that several years ago, and then a couple of weeks ago, Rav Shechter also gave a shiur someplace where he talked about chumras, he talked about stringencies, and whether shouldn't, etc. And he invoked that. He quoted Rav Amital saying that. He said, I'm not sure that everybody qualifies as a Yirei Shemayim in order to keep it. So anyways, Rav Moshe uses a language here about that. Bal nefesh, somebody who wants to be strict, could be strict on that. Now we discussed that first week, that what exactly was the reason for being strict on New Year's and or Thanksgiving. So we suggested that Rav Moshe had a hunch that if it was new, it probably had its basis in Avodah Zarah. It probably came from that area, and by the area of Thanksgiving he would be correct. Thanksgiving certainly does have an Avodah Zarah origin. But Thanksgiving probably doesn't. In fact, remember that first year we pointed out that it might, if anything, have a Jewish origin.
I'm sorry, New Year's has.
New Year's has a pagan origin.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And while Thanksgiving does not. Thanksgiving has a... Thanksgiving perhaps has a Jewish origin. So, but that din still exists. Meaning if something does have a pagan origin, even if today it is not associated with paganism anymore, or it's not associated with the Avodah Zarah anymore, so that would be the category of Bal Nefesh Yesh Lehem L'Hachmer. That was the category that was set up. Okay, so some of you recall that on the, I think the first or second day of Sukkot, I gave a drasha where I talked about the accuracy of Wikipedia. So really that was to give me permission that to quote Wikipedia as a correct source going forward. So I did a quick search today about some of the history of gift giving over the course of this time of year. So there were, so you can take a look here, it quotes a little bit about the history of gift giving with regards to Christmas itself. And in fact, the Christians weren't so excited about giving gifts on Christmas because they traced it back to Avodah Zarah. That's what's quoted here. Exchange of gifts is one of the aspects of the modern Christmas celebration, making the Christmas season one of those profitable times of year for retailers and businesses throughout the world. Right? Gift giving was common in the Roman celebration of Saturnalia. Now, that Roman celebration is not a Christian celebration. Right? Roman celebration means it's paganism. It's referring to their real Avodah Zarah, the ancient festival which took place late December, may have influenced Christian customs. That was source 69. Christmas gift giving was banned by the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages due to suspected pagan origins. Right, so they were also concerned about Chukas Hagayim. Right, so therefore they said it's usher. So it was later rationalized on the basis that it's associated with Saint Nicholas of Christmas. I'm not sure what this means. That gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were given to the infant Jesus, to the biblical Maggie. I don't know that what that story is talking about. But rather it was brought back in really the same lumdus that we were discussing. Right, because they were able to find a makor in their religion. They were able to find a source. In the ancient Christian thing, it wasn't paganism, it's really us. So therefore we're allowed to invoke it. Okay, so what do we see from that with regards to how to apply? And then the second thing is where if you look under the Wikipedia entry for Hanukkah, it does not have an as extensive section on the origins of gift giving, but it does mention in North America and in Israel. I mean, it talks about the customs, and then it says, and in North America and in Israel, I'm not sure where, you know, as opposed to where right now. Well,
yeah, I mean, what's the source? I mean,
someone wrote it. it is common to exchange presents or give children presents at this time. In addition, many families encourage their children to get stuck in lieu of presents for themselves. Okay, so it mentions that it's a North American Israel, that means that if that is true, and we take it at face value, we could probably ask some people, if they remember, if they recall, maybe from Europe, whether it was done there or not.
My grandmother came into this country when she was 5, but she remembers that she got a few coins.
Coins is older.
Okay.
Coins is older.
Yeah.
Gifts is a question. Those, I mean, I remember when I learned about this in yeshiva, they said, gifts, it's only because all the kids went to public school and the Jewish kids came home all ashamed that they're Jewish and all their friends were getting all these presents. So therefore the parents started giving them gifts on Hanukkah. That's the origin.
At least in Israel it's not marketed like it is in America.
Maybe yes, maybe no. But first of all, it might not even matter, right? Based on what we've learned the last couple of weeks, it might not even matter. Meaning, if that's the word on the street, that really we're only doing this because the non-Jews are doing it, and that's the reason that they're doing it bezman hazeh, it might not even matter whether that's the reality or not, as long as the perception might define the reality. Yeah.
In Israel, Sfaradim give money on Purim.
Okay. In America, we give, okay. It could be. Money is the money. Gelt comes to first. Oh, right. In the title, I see gelt and gifts. Really, we're going to do gifts and gelt, and then that's going to be the order. Okay. So with this in mind, just with these facts, right? The following assumption is that's true. That in the 50s, all the kids were going to public school, and they saw that their non-Jewish friends were getting gifts, and the fact that they were getting gifts is based originally on pagan customs, and then went on to being Christian customs. So therefore, the reason we're getting gifts this time of year is based on paganism, right? So should that prohibit giving gifts on Hanukkah? Should that prohibit giving gifts on Hanukkah? So, what do we think? Now that we're all experts in these halachas, what do we think? Would it? You think yes? Anybody else? Yes? No? So my impression, although I'm not sure, I didn't see this explicitly anywhere, but my impression is that it would fall under Rav Moshe's category here. It would fall under Rav Moshe's thing that even though maybe even though maybe the people that think about this intelligently and say, oh gosh, how did this start? It started 60 years ago, so that. The reason you're giving gifts on Hanukkah, Bizman Hazeh, is because we want, you know, it's a good idea. It's probably a good idea to do, and why it's a good idea we'll talk about shortly. But if one can say that there is that we're not really we're not doing it because of avodah zarah, we're not doing it because there's no reason for it. Right? There is an inherent value in giving gifts, just like there's an inherent value perhaps in the holiday of Thanksgiving. Right? So lefiyani is nicey. In my opinion, it sounds like it should go under that tshuva of Rav Moshe. I mean, something that may have had an origin, may have had an avodah zarah origin. Now the act that you would be doing now is not really at all associated with that avodah zarah origin. So therefore, it would say bali nefesh yesh lahem l'hachmir. It might be proper for bali nefesh to be machmir. That's if there's no other values involved here. Okay, so perhaps that would be. I mean, I don't think it would be us. I don't think you would say it was us, sir. I think it would fall under that category.
That would make sense in perspective of, you know, a kid who's in a solid from home. Isn't going to go off the dill because he doesn't get Hanukkah gifts. But a kid who's in a public school and doesn't have that much strength of Jewish identification, this could be a form of chizuk.
Right, so I want to talk about that chizuk. I wanted to bring up 2 points with regards to perhaps saying that would override these. I mean, what even if the non-Jews do it, and even if the non-Jews, what would be? If you recall from, I guess, last week's year, right? What would be a reason why we could do it anyways, even if the non-Jews are doing it? If we thought of it first, right? We had a pasuk in the Torah, right? That's what the Gemara said last week. There's a makor in Tanakh that the Jews were doing this already. So perhaps that overrides the fact that the non-Jews do it. So is there a makor for this by us? So the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Yontif, I think we've quoted this a few times. This is why I've written on this Rambam. The Rambam writes: Shivas Yimeya Pesach, the Shmonas Yimeya Chag, Im Shar Yamim Tovim, Kulam Asurim Behesped V'Tanis. Right, the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, and all the other Yom Tovim, you're not allowed to have a Hesped and Tanis, and a person is obligated to be Sameach and V'Tov Lev. Hu Uvano V'Ishto V'Neveso, him, his wife, his children, right, and all that rely on him. As it says in the Samach Devivchagecha, and it says Afa Pisha Simcha Murakan Haya Korban Shlam. Even though the pasuk in the Torah, when it says the Samach Devivchagecha, is referring to bringing a korban, right? As we talk about the korban chagiga, include that is also these things. So the halacha Yudches is so Ketzad. How do you do this? How are you? How do you bring cheer? How do you bring holiday cheer? Right, haktanim nosin lehem klayus vagozim umagdanos. So the children, you give them nuts and candy. Whatever, I'm not sure what these are. You give them candy. You give them a couple of things over the course of Yontif, like the Yontif candy. And the wives, you buy them clothing, and the men, you give them food. Right? That's everybody. That's obvious. Okay. So, and everybody will be happy together. Right? So the Rambam here is saying a din. Right? The Rambam is saying a halacha. Right? When the mitzvah is the samachta b'chagech, the mitzvah is to rejoice on your Yomim Tovim. How do you do so? So one of the major ways of doing so is giving gifts, right? One is giving, and specifically gifts to children. That's included in the parents' mitzvah of Simcha. Right? So now the question is, so the Rambam said that applies to Pesach. He said it applies to Sukkot. And then he said it applies to all the other Yomim Tovim. So is Chanukah included in Shkar Yomim Tovim, right? Is Chanukah included in that statement? So for that, you got to look into Rambam Hilchos Chanukah, and that's source number 6. So the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah writes, he starts quoting the whole story, Ahalach Aleph and Beis is the story of Chanukah, right? Which is always an interesting question, why does the Rambam feel the need to tell the whole story of Chanukah? It doesn't tell the whole story of Purim, it doesn't tell the whole story of Pesach, okay? So Mifnei Zeh, because of this story, Hiskinu Chachamim Sheba'oso Ador Sheyiyu Shmona Hayamim Ma'elu Shemaschilim Mileel Chamisha V'Esru B'Kislav Yemei Simcha V'Halel. Therefore, they established that from the 25th night of Kislev, there will be days of Simcha and Hallel. Great, what does that mean? Right? The first days were, how did he describe it? He described it as days Chayv Adam Liyosem Sameach V'Tov Lev. And here he's calling them Yemei Simcha V'Hallel. So is that the same thing, or is that not the same thing? I mean, is the Rambam going to categorize? If you would now ask the Rambam, so Rambam, I read your Mishnah Torah, tell me, those obligations that you impose in terms of Simcha on Yontif, would you apply that as well to Chanukah? So would the Rambam answer yes, or would the Rambam answer no? And there's good reason to say yes, there's good reason to say no, right? Some of the language is the same, and some of the language isn't the same. So is there a difference or is there no difference? So there are arguments on both sides of that. There are certainly achronim that make the claim on both sides. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch it writes, Riboy hasu'udos, source number 7, Riboy hasu'udos, shemar bim bahem, heim sudos harishus. If you want to have extra sudos over the course of Hanukkah, that is a rishus. Shalokavum lemishta v'simcha, because they were not established for mishta and simcha. I mean, they were not established in the same way that other Yom Tovim were established.
Okay.
He's basing this, by the way, just to take a quick look at source number 8, then we're going to go back here. So quickly, he's basing this on the Tur, which quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg, right? He's quoting this, he's sourcing this from earlier opinions. He said, Shiribay Hasu'uda Shemar Behem, Hein Suda Sarashus, Shilkavu El Lahalel Vilahodos, Vilo Mishta Visimcha. Right, they are halavah. So he clearly makes that distinction. Right, they are halavah hosts. They are days of praise. They are days of rejoicing. They are days of some level of simcha, such that you can't have a hesped, such that you can't give a eulogy. But they're not mishta v'simcha. They're not days of mishta v'simcha. Seemingly implying that anything you do, meaning you can't do anything negative. You can't do anything. You have to do the mitzvahs, and you can't do anything. You can't do the hesped. You can't do sad things. But that there is any legislative responsibility to do simchadik things, such as the meat, and such as the new dress, and such as the candy and presents for the children. So it seems like there is no requirement. However, he does put things in as a rishus, right? Does the you have permission to do so? Yes.
Is there any source here that's tying up any of the simcha with Purim as well as? And then somehow connected to because that's the close. Really, that's about the closest thing we have.
Why is Purim closer than Hanukkah?
No. If there's anything besides the biblical Hagim, Purim.
Plus, Purim's in Tanakh and Hanukkah's not.
The whole.
Right. So one can. So I think you could cut that both ways. On one hand, you could say, well, look, they did add another Chag. Right, which is pretty close. And what did they include on that chag? Yemei mishta v'simcha, mishlach manos yisrael matanos levyon. Right, included on that day was to do mishta v'simcha. Right, so what that seems to be that maybe that's a proof that you see. Oh, when the rabbanon add days later on, why they're allowed to add days later on is another whole topic. Right, but when they add days later on, maybe that means that they're supposed to be yemei mishta v'simcha. That might be a proof to say yes. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the same thing could be approved the other way as well. As I would say, why did the Rabbanan have to establish, make a specific pasuk of Yemei Mishtev Simcha, right? If they're already making a Yom Halel Vehodos, and a Yom Halel Vehodos by definition requires Mishtev Simcha, then you shouldn't need a separate pasuk to tell you. Oh. I mean, why do you need a special pasuk in Megillas Esther telling you that if by Chan, you know, if that's the definition of a Yom Tov, that's the definition of Yemei Simcha. So I'm not sure you could bring a proof one way or the other from Purim. And maybe if you look through the Gemaras, maybe you could bring more of a proof, but I'm not sure. At first glance, no. Yes?
If I remember, the Gemara says that they wanted to make Purim more than it is. They wanted to make it a real Yantif, but in the second thought, they decided that wasn't going to fly. So it became a lesser holiday.
That's why.
Once they did that for Purim, I guess Hanukkah probably also didn't get interested. I think that's in the Megillah.
In the Masechet Megillah. Right.
I think they say it specifically. You can look carefully in the Megillah. You'll see first it says a higher level of holiday in the second.
Then
it says, Purim on Shemus. Because they added days on. That went out already was.
They added mitzvahs. All right. Okay. I don't know. Not prepared on that level. So that was. So the Shulchan Aruch clearly seems to clearly make a distinction. Certainly in terms of what your obligation is. We continue just in that source 7. He just said some interesting things he points out here. V'yish omrim sheish ksas mitzvah v'ribay suzas. It doesn't say that maybe there is a some part of a mitzvah. Shem da'osan yom ha'yachanukas ha'mizbeach. Not necessarily because of the miracle, but because that also was the Chanukas ha'mizbeach. Because that was also the celebration of the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Sometimes gets lost. But he's saying not the miracle doesn't necessarily require that, but the Chanukas ha'mizbeach does. Right, the Noah Gimlomer is Mirus Vishvachos Pseudos Shemarbin Behem, right? And some do have the minog of singing songs. Vaz Havi Sudis Mitzvah, Yeshurm Shish Lechel Gvina Bachan, and some say to have cheese, right? Lefish Anis Nasa Bachalav, Shachila Yehudis Esoi. Okay. Fine. I thought I recall seeing that somebody says something about having one Suda, like you should at least try to do one Suda, but I forgot where I saw that today. Okay, so with those pieces of information, so one can make the claim that therefore it's not Chukas Hagayim. Why? Right? That even if you're going to say that it does have, that it has its basis, perhaps one could subsume it under the mitzvah of Chanukah and Purim. You know, that part of the mitzvah of Chanukah maybe if it's not even if it's not an obligation, perhaps it might be, just as one can have a sudas rishus, one could also give matanos rishus, right? You don't have to give your wife a new dress, but you could give your wife a new dress. So that statement was made by this person, who seems like quite an interesting character, the Sefer Avnei Yishba, Rav Yisrael Pinchas Feinhandler. I saw this quoted, and then I didn't know who it was. I quickly a quick Google search. So apparently he has his own website, hellorabbi.com. Anybody interested in getting smicha can take bi-weekly bechinos by him, and it'll take a couple of years, and you'll be able to get your smicha from him. So check it out, hellorabbi.com. But yeah, well, mail, not, mail is old already. Internet, though, you don't need... You know. Okay, anybody, you're welcome to check us. Anyway, so he apparently has a publication list. He's written quite extensively, and he has these the Sefer on Orach Chaim, and he writes here, which is actually a pretty nice review of what we've learned the last couple of weeks. A bacher echad ratzel liton, that one bacher, one young man wanted to argue that minhag l'aseis kesef liyadim b'chanukah hu minhag hagayim. So he's already going on to the giving money issue. But the idea of giving something to children on Chanukah perhaps is minhag hagoyim. It's what we're talking about. Chukas hagoyim shegam hi mechalkim matanos beideim shechaba osam hayamim b'kamo Chanukah. So they also give gifts during their holidays that fall during this time. Hinei kanira shechashash b'shum ha'isid v'chuseichem lo seilechu. So it seems that there might be a concern of this prohibition of not going like the non-Jews. Omnam. Hama'ayim b'shal shu is maharik. If you look in the maharik, right, which of course we've quoted already. Yer d'dayik b'lashon chok d'hu davar b'li tam u'v'li to'elis yedua. It's something that's without a reason, without a purpose. Hama davar shi'yesh lo tam b'to'elis ein bo mishum b'chukoseichem. And if there is a reason and there is a purpose, then there's no issue. And it's brought in and that's quoted in the Ramah, right? So right in the middle, the Aleph Chaf, Im Kain, Mashenosin Dmei Chanukah, so giving money on Chanukah to children, right? To Wellis Nikaris, right? It's a clear reason. Kailisan Meach Aspautos, right? It makes them very happy. Bechain Kasav Aram, that's what the Rambam wrote, again from Hilchos Yontif, right? We just quoted in Simchas Yontov, the how do you do it? You give children, etc. And also on Chanukah, which are days of Simcha v'Halal, as the Rambam writes, v'lachin shaper noagim l'chalukah and kesef matanos. Therefore, it makes sense to give them money and matanos because they even came to Al Kopan. Yish kan yemei Simcha dechach mesamchin esakatam. There is some kind of Simcha involved in making them happy, and because there's a good reason, therefore it makes sense to do. Now, there are a couple of ways that one can disagree with some of those statements there, meaning it right. Because if it's really based in Avodah Zarah, perhaps it's not enough to just say, well, if it's really based in Avodah Zarah, it might not be enough to say, well, it's a good idea, right? That's what we learned last week. It's really based in Avodah Zarah. So that would be an argument against. And I think that when Katsav was, it's not really recognizable as such anymore, right? One can make a claim that independent of that, right, it could be included as part of the mitzvah of Chanukah. Okay, so Adkan, the first, any questions so far? Good? Okay, so there may be another reason. This is something, I found a very interesting article already a couple of years ago by this Dr. Sirotskin, who I don't know who he is. He seems like he's a psychotherapist in Yerushalayim. He also has this website, drsirotskin.com, and he has some very interesting articles. This one is the most interesting that I found. He writes it in the form of a psychology paper, where all the footnotes are from Sifrei Musar. It's just a very well put together mix of secular and religious sources, and the topic of rewards and gifts to children with regards to Talmud Torah. Meaning, how do you, using gifts, there's two sections. There's A, using gifts, and B, using competition as ways of motivating students in order to study more. So he talks about the various sources on the topic, right? One of the main sources discussed, obviously, is mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma, right? The Gemara says in a few places, right, that you should tell, get people to do things even if it's not for the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, even if it's not for no self-benefit, even if it's not for the most altruistic purposes, right, or altruistic reasons, still you encourage people to do mitzvahs, plus the Gemara says, mitoch shelo lishma balashma. And if originally they don't do it for the most altruistic reasons, ultimately they'll come along to do that. So, okay, that seems to be an encouragement to set up all these games and all these gifts, etc. However, he then goes on and points out various sources that point out, A, that it doesn't work, right, and in Jewish as well as in secular studies, he points out that it doesn't work. That just the idea that he's going to get a gift if he completes this, or she, if she completes this, or does this amount of time, or either studies this amount, learns this amount by heart. Right, the fact that there will be some kind of reward does not necessarily encourage them to continue doing it later on in life. So what do you do with that Gemara? Then obviously the Gemara means something. There has to be some truth to it. What is he talking about? So he quotes this story from the Zohar, and then explains it. He says, a student approached Rav Yochanan and requested to become his Talmud with the condition that he becomes wealthy. Meaning, Rav Yochanan, I'll come to your shir on condition that you promise me that I'll make a lot of money off of it. Okay. So Rav Yochanan said, sure. And he told all the other students to start calling him Rav Yossi the rich man. Right? Okay? So the student indeed learned Torah and was successful. However, he complained that he only had the reputation of a rich man, but he didn't have any money. A minor detail. So soon after, a man who inherited a fortune gave it to Rav Yochanan and gave it to all of his students, whom he now called Rav Yossi ben Pazi, right? Rav Yossi, and now he called this student Rav Yossi the son of gold. I mean, now you actually have money. Now Rav Yossi learned with simcha. As he delved into the depths of the Torah and experienced the delight of learning Torah, he began to bemoan his obsession with riches. I should learn for the glory of Hashem and not for riches. So he turned all the money to Rav Yochanan to distribute to poor people, and this is what Chazal meant, that a person should always lasuk b'torah mitoch shelo lishma balishma, because if he didn't do it originally for the right goal, so eventually it will lead to the right goal. So he quotes from the Mashkiach. Who's the Mashkiach that he's referring to? He's referring to Ratzisiyahu Salomon. He's referring to the Mashkiachim of Lakewood. So he used to quote this Zohar. What? Okay. So he calls our attention to the fact that when Rav Yossi was being called a rich man, he was merely successful in his learning, but he wasn't yet learning in a state of simcha. It was only after he actually achieved his dream of being rich that he started learning b'simcha, and this simcha allowed him to delve into the depths of Torah and experience its delight to come to the realization that he could learn for the glory of Hashem and not for the purpose of getting rich. Right? So what was it? What clinched it? How did that happen? So he writes, the Mashkiach concluded that the main purpose of lo lishma and learning Torah is to create an association between learning and a simcha shel mitzvah. Right? It has to be, right? This will allow the person to dwell into the depths of Torah, recognize its truth, which will in turn bring him to learn lishma. So what his claim is, and that was this whole article that was driving at this idea, that when you... That what is the only way that rewards will really work within the realm of Talmud Torah is if it is connected inherently to the Talmud, if they're really put together, right? That the actual mitzvah of learning Torah is in a state of simcha because of that reward. But if it's just, you know, learn today and then tomorrow I'll bring you to a ball game, right? Or learn today and tomorrow I'll get you a gift. So he claims that doesn't really work, because it doesn't actually invest the Talmud Torah with any level of simcha. It's only when somehow you could put the simcha with the Talmud Torah. So maybe like having like the NCSY programs of latte learning, where they actually the learning, it's where they, you know, they go to Starbucks and they get whatever they want, or whatever, you know, they whatever the coffee shop is, and they get whatever they want, and they're learning then. So when the actual act of learning is what the simchat, meaning that's the development of camaraderie, the fun is actually associated inherently with the Talmud Torah itself, right? So that's the time that the reward will actually reap its benefits of this mitok shelo lishma balishma. That was his point. So what is that? What is that relevant to Hanukkah? So I think that the idea of a Hanukkah gift fits with this, but only if it's done in the right way, right? To say, here is your, you know, you're going to light candles now, and then tomorrow we'll give you the gift, right? So that's the problem. It's only when the child is able to associate the two together. I mean, the Hanukkah menorah is a time of simcha because of the other things that are surrounding it. Right? Not that it's, well, I'm going to light the menorah, and in exchange for that, I'll get something else later. Right? It has to be somehow connected, so that will add to the simcha, and that might increase, that might help with the Hanukkah menorah itself. Yes?
The presence is not an add-on to Hanukkah, it's an integral part of Hanukkah.
Well, he said the way to gain that benefit is to make it an integral part. Right? And right, in fact, the Rambam's Those gifts that the Rambam mentioned of giving nuts and candy and almonds, those are the things the Rambam said, right? What's the kid doing with those? Right, he's eating them there, right? He's eating them then, right? I just thought of that now, right? That's enhancing his simcha because now he's eating it. He's not storing it away, unless you're giving him a lot of candy, in which case, yeah. It should be something that's usable right then, something that will give him the simcha right then and there. Okay.
Because giving it right then and there will put it so close to the learning.
Right.
That
it will allow him to associate the two of them together and will help with the simcha of the learning itself, or the chag itself. Yeah, that was his point. I thought it was a very interesting paper.
But really, the timing of the gift, the gift and the use of it is really critical to having this work.
Right. Yeah. Right. I quoted it. I used this paper for my graduate school papers. I quoted it. I'm not sure anyone actually looked at the sources, but I used some of his ideas. I used them for some stuff in graduate school. Okay. So the thing, the idea of Hanukkah gelt, what's the story? What is the story with that? So it is, there is such a source for it. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch itself, but in the Magen Avraham does quote the idea in source number 11. Of Noagim Hanarim Haniim Lasaviv Hanukkah Al Hapsachim Sefer Hanukkah Sabayis Kasav Tam Lazeva. I'm not sure what the Sefer Hanukkah Sabayis is, but it seems to be quoted as the makor for this, that all of the poorer children, it sounds like Hanarim Haniim, would go around and knock on doors, and there was some kind of custom to give them money. Yeah.
Trick or treat for UNICEF.
Yeah, that is a good point. That is a good point. Yes, but usually it's interesting.
It's a Jewish concept.
Well, usually what we like, you know, the way that we like pat ourselves on the back when we get the trick or treaters is that we say, well, you know, we have a similar holiday when we go around from house to house, which we think about Purim, and look how different it is that on Halloween the kids go from house to house begging for stuff, and by Shloach Manos we go around from house to house giving stuff. Right, so that's the thing, but what this Magen Avraham is saying is very interesting. So what is the perhaps what's the source for this? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has there are a few svarim. These were not come out, I don't think, during his lifetime. I think they came out after his lifetime, but they have his writings or his things that he said or things that he wrote or whatever came out in, not just on Chumash but also on Or HaChaim, also on various sections of Shulchan, not just Or HaChaim, various sections of Shulchan Aruch. So he has this there, right? Mashenagu b'yameinu liti matanos liyaladim, right? The idea that today we have the custom of giving gifts to children b'mei Chanukah, during the days of Chanukah, yimeish b'zeh mishum chukas akum, right? Is that a problem of chukas akum? She'osim kein b'mei idam, that they're doing it during their time of their holidays. And Rav Yaakov again says no. Nir shalo, I think not. Shemakor haminug noveh mizeh, because the source of the minug comes from this. This is where his source is. Shenasnu mos Chanukah l'melamdim, that during Chanukah they used to give money to the rabbis. the teachers. So how would they get the money to the teachers? They'd send it with the kids, right? They include in the kids' knapsacks. So once they're giving money to the teachers, they also gave some money to the kids also. Right? It probably makes more sense that the non-Jews took it from us. Ah, then there's no problem. Minig Rabbeinu L'chaik Maos Chanukah B'leil Chamishi Shel Chanukah. The minig of Rabbeinu of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was to do it on the fifth night of Chanukah. You see that the fifth night of Chanukah is actually the most that there is a tradition, like the fifth night of Chanukah has some kind of special significance to it. Like the Rebbes would hold their tishes on the fifth night of Chanukah, and there are other. The idea of having getting together might be ideally is on the fifth night of Chanukah. Why the fifth night of Chanukah? Chocolate bar to anybody who knows the answer. So some suggest that the fifth night of Chanukah never falls out on Friday night. It doesn't this year, right?
Saturday. It does not.
Right, Saturday night. Saturday. Right, some suggest that it does never falls out on Friday night, right? Right. Okay. Good. Not going crazy. So the fifth night is the it never falls out on Friday night. So therefore, that's kind of the night to be all these money things, all these kinds of things. Fifth night might be the ideal night to do it. Yes.
Chabad said it's because that's when the majority of the candles.
Right. Okay. Right. If you want to be from no, then that would be the reason. Right. Right. Maybe that's maybe also alpinist, so that might be the reason yet. But that's so that suggests that night never falls out on Friday night, and that could be true as well. Okay. One other idea of the historical sources. I mean, Rav Yaakov didn't give a historical. He gave a historical source, but he didn't say like, okay, where how did this start? So the Sifsei Chaim does give a source. He quotes from the Panovich Rav, Rav Kahaneman, right? Maran Rav Panovich Zatzal Biras Atam Minug Nesinus Demei Chanukah LeYiladim. The source number 13. He explained the reason of giving money to the children. Mifnei. And this is the reason Shayavanim Asu Lomo Torah was the Yavanim said you couldn't learn Torah. Vachashir Nitzchu Osam. And then they were when they beat the Yavanim, Viratsu Lahaksir Shayaladim Lilimod, and they wanted the children to come back to learn already. Nastalem Ksas Kasakatesha Yalandu. They gave them a little money in order to get them to come and learn. Kizu Haderach Lachaviv Al Hayaladim Esalimud. That's the way to get the children to love learning. You pay them. As the Vilna Gaon wrote, therefore we give money on the Chanukah in order to get them to learn. So based on what we said before, you had to somehow associate the two. You had to put the two of them together. You get them to come learning. But you had, somehow you had to include the money in that case. And there is a... I'm not sure who this is, Marvin Tamayenko, right? Also has a scholarly reason, where he says, where did this come from? I think he even mentions here the fifth night of Chanukah also, right?
Third or fourth line.
It's because we celebrated with a family dinner to Eastern Year, probably sometime before the 16th century, on the fifth day of Chanukah, right? It was customary to celebrate with family dinner and to give presents to money and to children. But I would suggest another theory for the origin of these money gifts. When the Jews destroyed the armies and camps of the Syrians, they took large quantities of weapons, armor, horses, and money as plunder. It is related in Maccabees how much they took. I took that out because I didn't have space. And as was usual in ancient days, this loot was distributed among the victorious soldiers. Right, so it's not necessarily Lezecher, the Talmud Torah, what was Lezecher, the military victory. But to recall the idea of giving out the booty during this time. So that is the story with the gifts, and that is the story with the gelt. What about the story with the gambling, the story with the dreidel? So for that, I don't have, for the dreidel lovers among us, I do not have as good news. I defended the first two. But this one is not so, while in the Hasidic world I think it is more recognized and more excited about and people come up with many, many reasons as to why to do it, at least the gambling nature part of it does not have too many defenders. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Mitzvah harvest v'sudah chadah d'simchas ha'nefesh talik sas gamke b'simchas ha'guf k'musak v'chush, right? You have a little bit of a meal and it's better. V'od l'zecher chanukas ha'mishkam shekavim l'mishta v'simcha v'gam yishlom ar-shirus v'tishbachus v'asudos, you should sing. At the meals, v'az v'aday have a sudas mitzvah, aval hasochkim beklapim Unshun Rab, the people that play with the klapim. I'm not sure what he's referring. Anybody know what he's referring to? Is it word klapim? Cards? Okay, the people that play with the cards, they get a big punishment. This tsaras, meaning this disease, has spread amongst Yisrael. Oy lanish alsa b'yameinu kach, how terrible it is in our days it's become like this. Become a mini averus to luyus bazeh, v'urachum yichaper avon. We've had so many averus are caused because of this, and Hashem should have some rachmanis on us. Umisha v'yichul aso levatala scharu meruba modu. If anybody can figure out a way to get rid of this, they'll get a lot of schar, because it's not really the most appropriate way to be spending Chanukah. Again, not necessarily the playing of the dreidel is one thing, but he's saying the leads, the gambling with the cards and those kinds of things. So the Aruch HaShulchan is clearly very much against it. Okay, so I really like the way this tied together. This is really neat. The idea that the Chukas HaGoyim aspect about the Chanukah itself, those people that they're at this past Sunday's shir at Kohelet, or Salvechik shir at Kohelet, so he had another understanding of the Hellenistic approach to Chanukah. So I thought that it came together very nicely. So anyway, so these issues come up. We live amongst non-Jews, and we've been influenced by them, and all steps of the way, whenever we're suspicious, so we have to analyze it. In the context of our Torah sources. Okay? Thank you for coming. Thanks, Amen.